Just now we have finished the 31 planes of existence. Now we come to four modes of rebirth linking. Number one is rebirth linking in a woeful plane. Number two, rebirth linking in a sensuous, blissful plane. And number three, rebirth linking in a fine material sphere. And number four, rebirth linking in an immaterial sphere. Rebirth linking in the woeful planes. Which consciousness become the rebirth linking in the woeful planes? That is unwholesome, rootless, resultant, investigating consciousness accompanied by equanimity. We have seven unwholesome, rootless consciousness. I don't know whether you remember or not. You cannot just learn and forget it. You must learn and remember it. This Abhidhamma, higher teaching. So there are seven unwholesome, rootless consciousness. Among these seven, there's one called unwholesome, rootless, resultant, investigating consciousness accompanied by equanimity. So this consciousness also perform the function of rebirth linking, of rebirth in woeful plane. And as I have said, the rebirth, bhavanga, and death are the same consciousness. As I have said, rebirth, bhavanga, and death consciousness are the same consciousness, perform different functions at different times. So for rebirth in woeful plane, this consciousness perform the function of rebirth, bhavanga, and death consciousness. Okay. And for rebirth linking in a sensuous, blissful plane, there is wholesome, rootless, resultant, investigating citta accompanied by equanimity. Just now it's unwholesome because for those beings who reborn in four woeful states, so cannot be, the rebirth consciousness cannot be wholesome. But now, rebirth linking in sensuous, blissful plane, that's wholesome, rootless, resultant, investigating citta accompanied by equanimity. For this type of being, they are born blind, or born deaf, or deformed beings, sexless beings. Because their previous karma, previous good karma is very weak. Although they produce rebirth in human, but they are born deaf, born blind, and so on. And this consciousness also in turn become rebirth, bhavanga, and death consciousness. And rebirth linking in sensuous blissful plane, there are another eight great resultants. Three are accompanied, some are three roots, four are three roots associated with knowledge. Remember that? Another two is dissociated with knowledge. The student is not hardworking. So when you are reborn in either in human or deva, it can be three roots or two roots. If your rebirth linking is two roots, in this life you cannot achieve jhana and you cannot become Arya, noble person. Okay, the next is rebirth linking in a fine material plane. There are five fine material resultant consciousness. This, according to the jhana attained, maybe first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, fifth jhana. So this consciousness will become the rebirth bhavanga and death consciousness for Brahma in the fine material plane. Okay. And for rebirth linking in the immaterial plane, there are four resultant consciousness. Four immaterial resultant consciousness, and this resultant consciousness will become rebirth, bhavanga, and death consciousness for the Brahma in immaterial plane. Okay, is it clear? No answer. Okay. Now we come to classification of karma. There are four classification of karma according to number one, function. The function, and number two, order of ripening, number three, time of ripening, and number four, plane in which the effects take place. Without all this PowerPoint, I think everybody fell asleep. So this PowerPoint is to make your mind excited. What is karma? Karma literally means action or doing. Action is of three kinds, whether mental, verbal, and physical, either good or bad. But in its ultimate sense, karma means all moral and immoral volition of the seven jhavanas that we have learned in the cognitive process, and we have learned it in the mental factors, the volition in the mental factors. When a cognitive process jhavana has unwholesome roots, how many unwholesome roots we have? Three. What are they? Louder, please. Okay. Hatred, greed, anger, and delusion. Okay. Their volition, if the root is unwholesome, their volitions are unwholesome. Then karma will be unwholesome. When the cognitive process jhavana have wholesome roots, their volitions are wholesome, then the karma will be wholesome. Very easy. But karma sometimes is also explained as karmic force. Not only volition, karmic force is also called karma. The Buddha said, "I declare, O bhikkhus, that volition, cetana, is karma. Having willed, one acts by body, speech, and thought." So volition is universal mental factors that you have studied in the mental factors. Volition is universal mental factors which must arise with all types of consciousness. Although arises and passes away at every moment, all the mental factor arises and passes away. All the mental factors arise and pass away. But this spatial volition leave behind karmic potency in mind and matter continuity. So whenever there is volitional action, there is formation of karma. And the volition action of Arahant does not form the karma, because Arahant has uprooted the root cause of karma. What are they? Ignorance and? This is not Abhidhamma, this is Sutta. Ignorance and? Craving, okay. Hey, be more expressive. Why so quiet? Now a question for you. As I said, volition means karma. And volition is the universal mental factors which must arise with all types of consciousness. So is every volition involve karma? Yes or no? Is every volition involve karma? Because volition is universal mental factors which must arise with all types of consciousness. No. So which type of volition does not involve karma? I think I have to conduct more Abhidhamma class. Repeat it again and again. Yes? Okay, what are the non-willful acts? So what type of volition is not considered as karma? Very good. Very good. Resultant consciousness. Because consciousness can be divided into four according to the nature of according to the nature. One is wholesome consciousness, one is unwholesome, and number three is functional or resultant, and number four is functional. So only those volition associated with resultant consciousness and functional consciousness do not involve karma. Only those volition accompanied with wholesome consciousness or unwholesome consciousness involve karma. And this very important point and very subtle. And also for those who already uproot the roots of karma, which are ignorant and craving. Only those arahant who have already uprooted these two root causes, then their action do not involve karma. Nevertheless, as long as their mental and material continuity persists, even Buddhas and other arahants cannot avoid experiencing the result of their past karma. That's why Venerable Mangalana, his skull was crushed, and although not die. Then Buddha has quite often experiencing the pain of back and head. So long you have this mind and body, the result will take place, although the root cause has been uprooted, have already uprooted. And in Abhidhamma, karma means 29 types of consciousness, 29 types of volition, 12 unwholesome consciousness, and 8 sense-sphere wholesome consciousness, 5 fine material wholesome consciousness, and the 4 immaterial wholesome consciousness. So this 29 consists of karma or volition. The 4 supramundane wholesome consciousness. What are the 4 supramundane wholesome consciousness? Sotapanna, Sagadagami, Anagami, and Arahant. So these 4 supramundane consciousness, wholesome consciousness, are not regarded as karma, although they are called wholesome. Just now I said all wholesome and unwholesome. Now the volition accompanied in wholesome and unwholesome consciousness are called karma. Except this 4 supramundane wholesome, although it's called wholesome, but they are not regarded as karma because they tend to eradicate the roots of karma, that condition rebirth. And they tend to eradicate craving and ignorance, that condition rebirth. Okay? The cause of karma. At the end of each life, and that's death, and immediately after death, an unwholesome or wholesome karma produces its result. And the result is a new rebirth linking consciousness, or new aggregates, as the Buddha explained. And this continued process is maintained by ignorance and craving. Ignorant or not knowing things as they truly are, especially the 4 Noble Truths, is the chief cause of karma. Because you don't understand the 4 Noble Truths, then you perform various of karma. Dependent on ignorance arise karmic formations or karmic activities. Avijja Paccaya Sankhara states the Buddha in the Paticca Samuppada. You don't understand the truth of suffering, the 5 aggregate of clinging, which is the truth of suffering. You don't understand that. Then you keep on clinging to this aggregate as I, my, myself. To satisfy this aggregate, you perform various of karma, which bring forth rebirth. So not understanding the four noble truths is called ignorance. And associated with ignorance is a lie craving, tanha. Craving, there are three types of craving. Craving for sensual pleasures, craving for existence, and craving for non-existence. So this craving is the other root of karma. And evil actions are conditioned by these two causes. All good deeds of worldling, putujana, though associated with the three wholesome roots of generosity, goodwill, and knowledge, still have the two roots of ignorance and craving as latent defilements. They do not arise together. So when you perform charity, this craving and ignorance do not arise together. They only arise as a latent defilements. Because wholesome consciousness cannot arise with the unwholesome. The law of nature. Wholesome cannot arise together with unwholesome. But they arise as a latent defilement. Now we come to karma and its result. Karma and vipaka. Karma and resultant. Karma or volition. Volition arises and passes away at every moment. All consciousness arises, all consciousness and mental factors arises and passes away at every moment. But only volition leave behind potentiality to produce its effect when conditions are favorable. Just like you throw a mango seed on the ground. When this mango seed meet with favorable condition like sunshine, water, or fertile soil, rain, and so on, then it will grow into a tree. So there's a potentiality in that seed. So long it does not meet with favorable condition, it will not grow into tree. So long the volition, although the volition arises and passes away, it leaves behind potency in the continuity of mind and matter. And when it meet with favorable condition, then it will produce its result. We call vipaka. And this vipaka, this result is called identical result. The karma gives identical result. Suppose you kill somebody or you kill some beings. Because you have the volition, want to make the life of that being short. So when you kill somebody, you actually make their life short. Because of that volition, which produce identical result, so as a result, when you are reborn as a human being, you will be short life. So the karma produce identical result. And suppose you offer or you steal, you commit stealing with the volition wanting the property of other people's lost. You want the loss of the property of others. So as a result, because karma gives identical result, so as a result, when you reborn as a human being, your property will be stolen always. So this is called a principle. The karma gives the identical result. And suppose you offer, give good example, don't always give a bad example. So suppose you offer medicine to some sick person. With what intention? With intention, with the wholesome volition, one, that person to be healthy and well. So as a result, because karma gives identical result, so as a result, when you reborn as a human being, you will be very healthy and strong. So if you want to be healthy and strong, you offer more medicine for the sick person. So this is the principle of karma and its result. Just like when you shout in the valley, you come to the valley, you shout, Michael. So the echo will never come back to you, John. The echo will come back only to Michael. So this is the same, the principle of karma and vipaka result. Just as the seed bear fruits that are similar to the fruits they come from. If you plant the papaya seed, it will never turn to mango. It will bear papaya fruit. So this is the principle of karma and its result. So each volitional activity is inevitably accompanied by its due effect. It ensures that the result of a deed is similar to the deed itself. And the cause produces the effect. The effect explains the cause. So now suppose you are a healthy person. Then you know what you have planned. That effect, you are a healthy person. That effect explains the cause in a previous life. If you are very, suppose you are a very dull person, very dull, cannot comprehend the Dharma. So this is the effect. So it explains the cause. What is the cause in the future? Let the Buddha answer this question. Okay. So the vipaka, the result, explains the karma. So understanding the karma and the vipaka, then we understanding the essence of the teaching of the Buddha. The Buddha taught self-reliance. Self-reliance. Rely on your own karma. Don't rely on the external force. Don't ask Deva to give you something, to pray for something, pray for longevity. Go to the temple and pray for longevity. You have to do the karma. You have to perform the karma which can give the identical result of longevity. So this is very important, important aspect of Buddhism. That's self-reliance. In other religion, they rely on God. So this is a different, a main difference between Buddhism and other religions. So our own karma is our own protection. And Buddha say we are born of karma, heir of karma, abide supported by our karma. Whatever karma we have performed, whether good or bad, we are the heir. But to explain in detail how karma works, that is not the domain of our knowledge. We cannot comprehend in detail how this karma produced that result. How in detail how the conditioner works. But roughly we understand good karma produce good result, bad karma produce bad result. And we also understand the karma produce identical result. That is enough for us to accumulate various wholesome karma. Okay, the result of karma. According to conventional truth, you can say that result of karma, that person become rich person, become healthy person. But that is conventional truth. A person exists in conventional truth. But in ultimate truth, only consciousness, mental factors, and matter. So in the ultimate sense, the result of karma, there are three. That's resultant consciousness, resultant mental factor, resultant matter. And these three give result at rebirth moment and the cause of existence. Give you an example here. Result of karma for human beings. At rebirth consciousness, as I said, the result is two, at rebirth and during the course of existence. So at rebirth for human beings, the result is one consciousness. This one citta, this consciousness is rebirth consciousness. One consciousness plus 33 cetasikas. This we have studied in mental factors. And 30 matter. At the rebirth moment, only 30 matter are produced by previous karma. There is sex diket kalapa, body diket kalapa, and heart based diket kalapa. So this is the result at rebirth. And result at cause of existence, after that, here, main cause of existence, or during life, until the death moment. So at the cause of existence, the result is called result at the cause of existence. This including, like gradually, the eye decay kalapa will arise. Ear decay kalapa will arise. Nose decay kalapa. Tongue decay kalapa, and so on, will arise. And life faculty and so on will arise and passing away, arise and passing away up to the death moment. So all this result are called result during life. Okay. So result of unwholesome karma. When a karma with one of the three wholesome roots matured at the time of death, the result will take place in four woeful states. And the consciousness that arise in those four woeful states are almost only unwholesome. Because the consciousness that arise in those four woeful states are almost only unwholesome, then for those beings in four woeful state, to escape from the four woeful state is so difficult. Buddha give a simile. Suppose there's a yolk that has been thrown into the great ocean of the world. And the blind turtle that arises once every 100 years. For this blind turtle which arises only once every 100 years, to stick his neck onto this yoke in the great ocean, is it difficult? Blind, some more blind, then arise only once 100 years. And the yoke is, go this way and that way by the wind. So it's so difficult to let this turtle stick his neck to the hole of this yoke. But Buddha said, the more difficult is for those beings who have reborn in four woeful states and wanting to escape and reborn in a human or deva realm. It's more difficult. Why? Because in the four woeful states, they have no wholesomeness. So, let's say the beings in hell realm, from the very moment of rebirth until the death, they only suffer intensely. How can they perform wholesome deeds? It's not possible. So for hungry ghosts, they suffer intense thirst and hunger. How can they perform wholesome deeds? So without the supportive karma of wholesome deed, how can the good sign appear during dying moment? It's very difficult. So for those being in a four apaya to escape from death and reborn in human and deva is very, very difficult, as said by the Buddha. So we are very lucky. We have already become human and we have plenty of time to accumulate wholesomeness. This wholesomeness will support us to gain a better rebirth in the future. And results of wholesome karma. When a karma with two of the three wholesome roots matures at the time of death, the result will take place in seven sensual planes, either as human or deva. But when both humans and deva pass away, they are also almost always reborn in one of the four woeful states. This is not said by me, said by the Buddha. Okay. So one day, Buddha put some grains of soil on his fingernail and compares it to the planet Earth. Then he asked the monks, so too, bhikkhus, those beings are few who, when they pass away as human beings, are reborn among human beings. But those beings are more numerous who, when they pass away as human beings, are reborn in hell, the animal realm, the ghost realm. So compare with the soil on his fingernail and to the earth, the soil on the planet. So the fingers, those who reborn as human being again, just like the soil on the fingernail. Those from human being and from deva who take rebirth in the four woeful state is similar to the soil on the earth. This is because the nature of the mind. The nature of the mind delight in evil. Okay, now we have talked about karma. Where is karma stored? Where, Venerable Sir, is karma stored? King Mininda questioned the Venerable Nagasena. Then Venerable Nagasena answered, O Maharaja, karma is not said to be stored somewhere in this fleeting consciousness or in any other part of the body, but dependent on mind and matter, erased, manifesting itself at the opportune moment. Just as mangoes are not said to be stored somewhere in the mango tree, but depend on the mango tree they lie, spring up in due season. So you cannot say the mango store in the branch, store in the root, or store in the trunk of the mango tree. Similarly, you cannot say the karma store in the chest, in the back, or in the leg and so on. But depend on mind and matter. It springs, the karma springs. So when a person enters into Pali Nibbana, when there's no mind and matter arise in the world, then the vipaka will never take place. So long there's mind and matter, the karma is stored in the mind and matter. Okay, I should stop here. Any question? Just now I said that why some people become dull? Because they do not ask questions. That's said by the Buddha. Okay, if you ask question, that is conducive for you to strengthen your wisdom faculty. Yes. You might.
Your very clear presentation. My question is, how does one? How does
okay.
one verify what you have just presented? How does one go about practically verifying?
Verifying what?
All the facts that were presented.
This question is, I think you can check yourself in your daily life. When you check yourself in the daily life, you will find the agreement. And you say, how to verify what I have explained, all this? Okay.
So how does one practically, you know,
okay. So
all these states and rhymes okay. and chitta-chitta-stikas, how do you verify as like a...
Okay, I understand. Okay, so it's good that you specify your question. No, if you specify it, I can understand better. If you practice meditation, the Buddha say, all this ultimate truth is very subtle. They cannot be penetrated by our naked eye and normal and the ordinary mind. Only those who have developed concentration and wisdom can penetrate the ultimate truth, the essence of the teaching of the Buddha. So let's say, if you meditate loving kindness meditation, when you achieve jhana, there's light following you. So if you radiate that light to the up to the sky, you will see various devas. Then when you send the light, just now, if you send the light to the ground, hell, you will see various hell beings suffering intensely in the hell. Just I have said this one meditator in Pa'au, when she sent the light into the hell and she made a wish, want to see the Devadatta, then she saw the Devadatta in the Avijja hell. So this can be verified by your practical meditation experience.
Thank you for the answer, but it's still not satisfactory.
Okay.
Because could you be also... influenced by the fact that you're presented with all the 31 rhymes. So you say, okay, what I saw was Devadatta.
What you saw is?
Because it was presented that there is such a being called Devadatta.
Okay.
So then you project your light and then you say, I saw Devadatta. Could that be also an illusion? Because you were already presented that name. But let's say if I have no idea who Devadatta is. How can I see him and then verify what you said?
I understand what you want. I give Devadatta is just an example. You just radiate, send your light into the ground. You will see various type of hell beings. You don't have to find Devadatta, you know. I give an example just to strengthen your belief that, you know, the power of concentration. You just send your light under the ground, you can see it. You can see various beings shouting, burn by fire, and cook in the oil, in the cooking pot, and so on. So when you see yourself, you strengthen your faith. This Dhamma is so subtle. That's why when the Buddha, when he first gained enlightenment, he did not want to preach. He said, people, all beings are so deluded. Their eyes are covered. How can they understand such profound Dhamma? And to see this hell being is not very important. To see the ultimate consciousness, mental factors and matter are more important. But even that not important things we still can't see. Not to speak with, to penetrate into the arising and passing away of all types of consciousness and mental factors that need deeper concentration and wisdom. So the practice of the Buddhism is the practice of practical experience. But now, since we don't have the practical experience, we keep our mind open. Okay, Buddha, since he has developed concentration and wisdom for 4 asankhaya and 100,000 kappa, and discovered the truth. Since I have not yet, I do not endow with that concentration and wisdom, I keep my mind open. It may be, it might have such things. So once I put into practice, then I should be able to verify what the Buddha said is correct or wrong. Okay?
Thank you.
Any other question?
Just now you mentioned that karma gives identical results. Like for example, if you like to kill, you take a life, you shorten someone else's or some living being's life, then you yourself may face a shortened life. So, and if you like to steal, then you get the thing stolen.
Okay.
Sometimes it might sound very simplistic.
Yes.
For example, if one were to carry this further, for example, if you look at someone who has sexual deviant tendencies.
Sexual deviant, what is that?
He has deviant tendencies sexually.
Which one was
that? Sexual perversion or something.
Aggressive, okay. Sexual aggression.
Sexual perversion, that means not normal, unnatural sexual habits or preference.
Okay.
So is it then not simplistic to say, it's because he has misconducted himself sexually in the past?
It is.
Like for example, if you were to ask some of those who give talks, those monks, they don't want to make a stand on this. And they always give politically correct answers.
They give what correct?
Politically correct answers.
What do you mean politically correct answers?
So answers that are socially acceptable according to the time.
Okay.
Like for example, nowadays, nobody wants to say there's anything wrong if you have homosexual tendencies. No, there's nothing wrong. Right? Nobody wants to say that. It could be due to his sexual misconduct in the past.
Yes, okay.
So what is your view on this?
Okay, I think I'm very straightforward speaker, so to speak. I only say what the Buddha say. So Buddha say that, I can't give you the sutta now, but as I know, those who are, for example, hermaphrodite, sexless people, or some animals, their organ are castrated. All these type of beings have performed sexual misconduct in the past. But I think many speakers now don't want to offend the speakers. So they don't want to tell very directly. But I speak on behalf of what Buddha taught on. Whether you like it or not, I have to speak. This is my principle as a speaker. Okay. And you may think that it sounds very simple. The karma produces identical result. But this is only the principle only. But the in detail one we can't understand at all. This beyond our comprehension. Only Buddha can understand in detail how it works exactly. So we only understand a very rough principle.
This is a rare opportunity, so it's a bit of desire here.
What?
It's a rare opportunity to have you present this, so there's this desire to ask one more question.
Okay.
Can you please explain, Sally, the term patthana?
Okay. Conditional relations. Okay.
And how does it relate to Chetana?
How does it relate to Chetana? Okay, Chetana in Patthana, there are two. They call karma relation. Karma pachayo. Hetu pachayo, aramana pachayo, karma pachayo. Here, karma pachayo got two. There's nana kanika karma. Nana kanika karma. And another one is saha chata karma. Nana kanika karma is the karma performed now give effect at other time. But sahajata karma is the karma together. Sahajata is arising together at the same time. So here what we have taught here is nana kanika karma. The karma performed here give result at other time. But how the patthana works here, patthana is the deepest book among the seven books. So only when the Buddha preached patthana, Buddha's body emit rays, light. because his wisdom finds satisfaction. So how the volition relate in the patthana? Suppose sankhara paccaya vijnana. In dependent origination, sankhara paccaya vijnana. This dependent origination, but according to patthana, patthana is how the condition works. So according to patthana, it's because of karma condition, karma paccaya. And this karma is nana kanika karma. That is, the volition performed leave behind the karmic force that wait until emit with all types of, emit with favorable condition that it produces effect. Maybe after, maybe in this life of second life or among the round of rebirth. Yes.
I'm still
not
very clear. Now, when you mentioned about avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana.
Right. Vijnana is rebirth consciousness.
Right.
Okay.
Could you relate, help me to understand how does patthana help one to uproot avijja? Because patthana.
No, okay, sorry. Patthana cannot help you to uproot the avijja. The practice of meditation, the vipassana meditation, only can help you to uproot the avijja.
But understanding the theoretical...
The theoretically also can... okay.
...of how to uproot the three major causes of samsara will help one have a theoretical foundation, so that when one practice meditation, he will not deviate from the ultimate goal, which is to free yourself from the effects of samsara.
Right.
So how does one understand the patthana in relation to the release of, in relation to the release from the cycle of samsara? Because cycle of samsara has gone on for many, many lives because of the avijja.
Okay.
So how does it relate to avijja in that sense?
Okay. That you have to understand the dependent origination first. How avijja condition sankhara. You have to understand. Because avijja is not understanding the four noble truths, not understanding the five aggregate, not understanding the future aggregate, not understanding the past aggregate and the future aggregate, and not understanding the dependent origination. These are called avijja. And avijja paccaya sankhara. How it conditions sankhara, that involve patthana. That involve patthana. Maybe object paccaya, because of object. Object is what? Avijja. So it can be object paccaya, it can be among the 24. I cannot remember, I think it's 8. That is in Visuddhimagga. I'm going to present this topic when I come back from America to all of you.
Please.
Because I can't do now because it's so profound and so subtle.
When do we have to wait?
1.5 years I come back from America. Because I really need to stay in solitude and to materialize. Because it's so profound and I need to present it in the PowerPoint. And to make it clear, all this takes me a lot of time and mental effort. And a lot of concentration.
America.
Oh, because I already promised them to teach in America. So I need to wait until I come back from America. America, there are so many people, and among my students, many are professors. They are professors, some are scientists. So I feel that it's very important to impart the teaching of the Buddha to all these intellectual people so that they can, if they can be convinced by the Abhidhamma, I think it's very useful for the propagation of the teaching of the Buddha. So I target America. So I think I can answer, I can satisfy you only when I reach to that part. Now it's so, time is so limited, and if I explain to you, most of them will not understand as well.
Mm-hmm. Could you help us with some resource? Is there on the internet or somewhere that we could, you know, in the meantime while we're waiting for all that, to sort of access a bit into that information?
The Abhidhamma. I think with Patthana. That you have to read the Patthana. There's a one book called The Conditional Relation, Volume 1 and Volume 2. In Pali Text Society. That's Volume 1 and Volume 2. But in order to understand Patthana, you have to understand the basic Abhidhamma first. If you don't understand the basic Abhidhamma, just like I asked you, the resultant consciousness, rootless resultant consciousness, you become blur already. Then if I go to Patthana, it's too deep, too profound. So if you want to listen to Patthana, you have to master Abhidhamma first. The basic 89 types of consciousness, 52 mental factors, and 28 matter. You have to understand it first before I go to Patthana. If not, you can't understand. And it's no point I talk here. So you can go to Pali Text Society, the conditional relation, part 1 and part 2. But without teacher, I don't think you can understand well. Okay.
So shall we have a 1 hour break here?
Yes.
So we can come back at 7 o'clock, please.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.